This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to be here.
We all have to have difficult conversations at different points in our lives, but what's one way that people can set themselves up to try and make it as easy as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is to find a space where you can be calm and you'll know you're not going to be distracted. I think the other thing I would do is also try and invite a collaborative feel to that conversation. So if it's something that needs to change within your relationship, it's like, what can we do differently? Because at the moment, the impact on me is this. So it's a shared task rather than something that person has to do alone, or they're going to feel criticized for what they were doing. So I think that shared space, how can we work this differently, is a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are some of the conversations people come to you about wanting to have with their close ones but don't know where to start?
I think probably the most common one is just the change in that dynamic of whether or not your husband and wife, or, you know, mother and daughter, you know, father and son, or whatever, that change in that dynamic. So you've had a relationship for however many years and you're ingrained in your roles. But as somebody with sight loss becomes more dependent on the sighted person in terms of everyday living, I think there's a change in that dynamic, and it can irritate people both way, or they can find themselves just being in an unfamiliar territory. So I think, yeah, that change in dynamic in what is a long-standing relationship.
And after you've set up a space where you can feel calm and try to take a collaborative approach to the conversation, what is a tip you'd give people if they maybe get nervous and feel like they haven't communicated things as they've wanted to?
I think to kind of say that this is new for me, as it must be for you. This is about us, you know, and I'm nervous and I don't know how to communicate this. I haven't lost my sight before. And sorry if I'm fumbling and I get this wrong, but I think it's not good that we carry on the way that we're carrying on. So we need some change. So I think that's, you know, again, that's shared space, that collaboration, also that sense of, you just don't know. You're not an expert in this. But what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to find the best solution, because the relationship matters. And I think that's the important thing. You're coming from that place of wanting to preserve and help the relationship adapt to the new circumstances, as opposed to, I'm criticizing you, you're getting it wrong from me. It's like, we need to change. It's not just me.
If you're not used to having these conversations, sometimes it can be easy to put all of the responsibility on one person. But if you emphasize that you're working together, both people are much more likely to find a collaborative way moving forward.
Yeah, and a solution that works for both people, rather than, I just need you to do it this way for me, or I don't want to talk to you because I feel like a burden. I think that's the other thing we find, is that people don't want to have those difficult conversations. So because they feel like they're a burden, the sight loss is happening to them alone, not happening. It doesn't happen alone. It doesn't happen in isolation. You know, it happens in a family unit, and everyone needs to change and shift because of this thing that's happening, or this, you know, this new way of living. Yeah. So that collaboration, that finding the solution together and processing together, you know, because everything's changing together. The changes are happening to everybody. So let's find a new way together rather than isolation. Because probably whoever it is that's focusing on the bringing up the conversation needs to acknowledge that the other person's probably feeling a sense of discontentment as well, whether or not it's the partner who's having to do more, or the person with sight loss having, you know, really struggling with becoming more dependent and losing their independence. So there's probably a change for both people. So having space and time to allow both people to express what's going on for them, I think, is really important. I think where people fall down is, well, it's not happening to you, it's only happening to me. I'm the one losing my sight. So I've got the kind of emotional priority here. And I don't think that goes down very well.
Yeah, that's a great thing to keep in mind. And if someone has kind of worked up towards having this conversation, tried to put themselves in the best position, and they don't get the response they were hoping for, what advice would you give them for kind of immediately after the conversation?
Well, I think it's about remembering that change doesn't happen overnight. So the fact that they have said what they've needed to say, they haven't had the response that they've wanted, but they've put that thought out there and, you know, give that other person time to reflect. And maybe at the end of the conversation, said, well, maybe we need to talk a bit about more about this going forward. Let's find some time, another time, you know, and then maybe shift it into, should we do something that we know we enjoy together? So it takes the edge off people feeling uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's okay to keep coming back to this. And ultimately, actually, if people are finding it difficult to communicate, it's actually okay to ask for a third person to be involved, if that's helpful. Sort of a mediator, where there's somebody that can hold both people if you're finding it hard to do it yourself.
What is the support out there for the family members? They're also going through a traumatic thing, the same as you are when you're losing your sight.
Yeah, I think that's a really valid point. And I think, you know, we do have to recognise it's everybody that's adjusting. Of course, the person that's losing the sight has another level on top of that, because they're not only adjusting to the change in the family, but also losing their sight. But everyone is affected. Being able to explain what's happening and giving, especially for that sort of father-child experience, being able to give children as much knowledge as possible. But in terms of the whole family, you know, there is support out there. We at RNIB offer a counselling service to people who are affected by sight loss. And that's to everybody that's affected. It's not just the person that's losing their sight, because we recognise that actually it might be the partner that's struggling or the child that's struggling more than the person that's losing their sight at the time. So by a way of supporting that person to adapt to their sight loss, sometimes the best thing to do is to support the family members. And our services run from 11, you know, all the way through to grave. So there should be a space there for everyone to talk about. And I think it's a good point, is the fact that sometimes supporting people individually until they've got to the point where they can actually talk together and they've developed a common language about what's happened in their family is another good strategy. So you may not be able to talk about it at the beginning because it may be too painful. It may be, you know, both of you looking down that lens and thinking about what the future is going to be like, you know, and not having any support may just be too painful and frightening. But to do that individually at your own rate and then to come together may be another strategy.
Good Company on RNIB Connect Radio.